Guys, we're going to talk about living in the real world. This last few weeks, if you've been tuning in, then you'll have heard a lot about the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. We are spirit people first. We live in a physical world, but we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, and it's all amazing. But here's the problem. We still live in a broken, fallen world, and so we still have to navigate and manage that. And today, I want to give you encouragement. I want to equip you. I want to set you up to succeed so that you can be a real Christian in a real world. And that's the question that we're going after. Can I be real? Can I be the real me everywhere I go? Can I be the real Christian that I want to be, not just in church, but everywhere I find myself? And I want to encourage you that you can, and God has equipment for that, and His Word is going to reveal some stuff to us today. But as we begin, we've got to start off with this premise and with this foundation, that we are children of God. That we are children of God. And it's not just when we're at church, and it's not just when we're Christian friends or family. It is for all times, all days, everywhere. Amen? We are children of God. We have been made for His presence. We are led by His voice, and we are filled with the Spirit. But how do we live in a real world? And that's what we're going to discover today, and that's what we're going to look at. I want us to be people that will be able to thrive in the real world, not just get by, not just have to keep it low, not just have to keep it quiet, but literally be Jesus to this fallen, broken world. Isn't it amazing that we can look at Jesus to our example, where He was just the same person everywhere, wherever you find Him, He was ready to tell you about the kingdom, He was ready to heal, He was ready to tell you about His Father. That's the people that God has called us to, and that's the people that God wants us to be. Okay, so step one, if we're going to be real in a real world, what do we got to think about first? I want to encourage you, the first thing that we must think about is our identity. Our identity is core to us, isn't it? It's who we are. It's what we're about. It's the way we're going to live. Everything, it's about where we've come from, who was our parents, all of that good stuff. But I also believe it's deeper, because we know that who we are dictates who we become and what we go and do and where we end up and just the relationships that we manage in the relationships that we find ourselves in. So our identity is key. And I want to tell you today that your identity in God is key if you're going to be a real Christian in a real world. And you're going to be consistent and you're not going to change. So we're going to think about it. Identity. And when I think about identity, I think about this main question. Who are you? What an incredibly big question to think about. What an incredibly big question to try and process. But I wrote down a few questions to help us do this. What do I value? Or where do I get my values from? Where do I take my morals from? And where do I get my sense of good from? Or maybe where do I look for security? Or where do I get my worth from? All of these are big questions wrapped in our identity. And depending on where you find your identity will depend the answer to these questions. But these questions are vital and they're important. And if you haven't asked them to yourself yet, then you probably will, or maybe you should, because these are incredibly important questions to help us figure out what we're about, what we're going to do, and who we are. So who are we and where are we from? We are children of God. And we all need to know this, because here's the bottom line. We all need to have worth and value. We all need to know that we are worth something and that we have value. And this is so critical and so crucial, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, because here's what can happen in your life. You can be saved or not saved, and you can go around every day trying to seek worth and value. And what that simply means is, right, did I do a good job? Every performance is evaluated, and you're thinking to yourself, right, I need to get a positive result here. I need to get someone to tell me I did a good job. If they didn't say I did a good job, then I'm in turmoil. It crushes me, because what happens? It's going to my innermost being. It's going to my core identity. And here's the good news of the kingdom, and here's the good news of Jesus as we try to be real people in a real world. He sets us free from our identity. He literally sets us free from our identity because He sets us free from approval. Here's the good news of God, and here's the good news of the kingdom to really set your heart ablaze. You're not looking for approval any longer in the kingdom of God. You're moving from approval because God has already approved you by the way He has lived this life. God has already approved you by how Jesus came to the cross and literally died in your place. God has already approved you before the foundations of the world because He's already planned good things for your life. So He has approved of you. Now, what does that mean in a day-to-day basis? It means that every day we go out from a place of approval, and so even when we don't get the approval that we seek after in other people, it doesn't put us into crisis mode because I'm already fully approved by God, and I know that, and I understand that, and I'm confident of that. And that's what I really want to encourage us with today. When we know that we're approved of God and our identity is in God, then we become the confident Christians that God has always intended us to be. Confident and bold and ready to transform and ready to bless people and ready to help people with their faith. So, am I doing a good job? Was I okay? We move away from feeling crushed. We move away from like, oh, I must get somebody to tell me that right answer. I must get somebody to respond. I've been there. Have you been there? Where it's like you really put your heart on the line. You really pushed yourself out somewhere and you got nothing back. Or you got a crushing comment back and you're still thinking about it 10 years later. Come on, we've all been there. Or you've made a mistake and you're still thinking about it 20 years later. Because ultimately what you were trying to get was, did I do a good job? Affirmation. Was that okay? Because underneath it, part of my identity is wrapped up. And be careful that your identity is not wrapped up in what you do. Because here's the problem with that. When you can't do what you want to do, or it's taken from you, or you lose your job, or you're not able to because of just how you're feeling, or just physical condition, then watch how that can push you into deep, dark depression, because what you did was your identity. And I want to tell you that God beats identity, because he removes that from what you do, and he says, it's in me. So you're moving from a place of approval rather than trying to get approval from every source. Is it nice that people say good things about us? Of course. But our life is not hinging on it any longer, and we're not feeling crushed by it any longer. And when someone says something that we don't like, it's okay. And that's the place that God wants to take us to. So who are we in God? Well, we've got to realize this, that if we're to move forward in the things of God, we've got to realize that God is the only one that's good, and his goodness is on our lives, and he has said, we are good. That's incredible. That's an incredible reality, because otherwise you can search your whole life saying, well, did a good job? Am I good? Was I okay? Was I good enough? Because ultimately we're trying to fit in, we're trying to please. And God says today, I've given you my goodness, and that has transformed your life, which is incredible. So let me give you a few things today of our new identity in God. Number one, this one's just so good. We are holy and blameless. Let me give you Ephesians 1:4, which teaches us how God has spoken to us way back years ago. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. In other words, before the foundation of the world, God has already said we're blameless and spotless. In a sense, he's already lined it up for us. And all that we have to do is accept him as Savior, and suddenly we step into that new identity. But here's the problem, that even as Christians, we can have a new identity in Christ, and yet then we step back into our old man, our old self, and we say to ourselves, well, do you know what? I got to work harder. I got to do better. You know, I've got to be better for God. I need him to accept me more. I don't want to disappoint God. We step into all of those different things, and they end us up in a mess with our identity. But here's what God says: you are blameless and spotless because I say so. I say so. Number two, you're fully known, accepted, and loved. Here's what 1 John 3:1 says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. How good is that? How good is that to know that wherever you go, no matter what anybody says, no matter what trials you face, no matter what mistakes you make, no matter what regrets you have, you are fully known, accepted, and loved. Wow, let that sink in just for a moment. I'm fully known, accepted, and loved. Doesn't matter what somebody says. I'm fully known, accepted, and loved. Doesn't matter you rejected me. I'm fully known, accepted, and loved. Doesn't matter what I even feel about myself sometimes. I'm fully known, accepted, and loved. Can I tell you personal testimony for me? There are many times where I don't feel like that, but then I read that verse over my life, and that greater truth beats the facts that I know about myself. Because here's the bottom line. We all have facts. People give us facts all the time. You weren't good enough. You didn't add up enough. You didn't make the grade. You didn't get the right score. We're going to have to let you go. They're all true facts. But here's where God comes with an ultimate truth, a greater truth that puts all of those things lower. And he says to us today that I have lavished my love on you, that you are known, accepted, and fully loved. You are my child. That is who you are. And it even adds an exclamation mark because the Bible wants us to know this is our identity. This is who we are. And when we know this, get ready for us to be the real us in the real world. We don't have to try and be two people because we are fully approved of by God. Number three, we have divine purpose and calling. We've looked at this a lot this last few weeks, but this is so important because when you ask the first question, who am I? Then the next question that follows straight after that is, what am I supposed to do? What am I here for? Like, what is my purpose? What is my calling? And this is built in, intrinsically built into each one of our lives. You can't get away from it. When you do try to get away from it, you wind up in dark places where you say, man, I don't think my life's worth anything. I feel worthless. What's the point? And you get to all these dark places. But the place where we need to be is like, what am I here for? What am I here for? Because I know whose I am. If you figured that out, then you know you're here for a purpose. It's eternal. It's divinely appointed. It's God ordained. He's already planned it. And he's just excited for you to step into it. And in the midst of all of that, you've got free will to choose. And that's the incredible grace of God. You see, guys, today what we're talking about is we can live a life of law or we can live a life of grace. And under grace says, I've got a new identity in Christ and I'm fully approved. And from that place, I move out into the world and have effect and make a difference. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Imagine that. We are his handiwork. We've literally been made by him. He has planned great works for us. They are kingdom works. They are big works. They are godly works. And he says, I want you to step into them, but your identity is crucial. Otherwise, you'll be undermined by every person that comes your way. God says, I don't want that. I want a solid foundation, a firm identity, and so you can move out in boldness with me. Here's what I find that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes to our lives. Not only does he convict us, but then he starts to transform us. And he helps us to discover the gifts in our lives. We looked last week at some of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. There are many more. If you didn't get to check that out, go check it out. Because the gifts of the Spirit are for today, for the church, to be a benefit to the church and to the local community. That's the goal of our lives. How can I benefit the church and how can I benefit the local community? That was the goal of Jesus. That's the goal of us. Who is the church? It's the people in the church. That's the church. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. How can your gifts be a blessing to them? How can your gifts be a blessing to the world at large? That's the goal of our lives. That's the identity that the Father has given us. And when it comes to knowing our identities in God, here's what I find. You become confident. It's incredible. You know, you could look your whole life trying to get better at stuff. You know, if I could just get better, I'll feel more confident. Here's what God says. Because of whose you are and because of your identity in me, you'll literally become confident. It's completely different. In the world, you repetition gets you confidence. It helps you to feel more confident. It's the same in all of our lives. But in the kingdom, God says, pursue me, come closer to me, come into my presence, and watch how I give you confidence. Guys, can I be real with us today? There are too many Christians today that have a confidence crisis. We sit at the back. We hide behind somebody else. We say to ourselves, I don't want to be picked. I don't want to be chosen because we have a confidence crisis. And God today says, I want to fill you with my love so that your confidence would overflow. You know you're no good. That's not the question. It's about how good is he? And as you give him your life, as you present your life, as you pursue him, watch how his confidence starts to become yours. Let me encourage you with that. That's my story, and I can tell you so much more today, but that is my story. As I spent time with him, a person that was not confident, a person that was worried. I mean, there was times where I was confident, and I started to worry that I was feeling too confident. You know, can you relate? And yet, the Holy Spirit wonderfully transformed my life. God transformed my life day after day, moment after moment. As I pursued his presence, he gave me his confidence. Let's be confident Christians. Okay, so we're assured that we need God's identity. And when we have God's identity, we can start to move into the real world. But step number 2, how does that work every day? Because you could be fired up in the Lord. You could be prayed up, read up, ready to go, worship in the car. Then you get to work and it's like, boom, worst day ever. Like, how does this work out in the real life? Well, here's what I want to encourage you with. Can I be a Christian in my work? Can I be a Christian in my school? Can I be a Christian in my family? Surely God understands. You know, I have to be slightly different. I have to compromise my faith a bit. You know, I have to be a private Christian sometimes because it's just the way that it is. Surely God's okay with that. Of course he's okay with it. He loves you, but he's not saying that it's okay. He's not saying that that's acceptable. He says, I love you regardless, but I know there's more in you. And I know you're made for more. And I want to encourage you with the word because it's the word that strengthens our hearts. Here's what Jesus prayed in John 17:4. And I believe it starts to help us to discover what God's intention and heart is for us. For they are not of the world any more than I am not of the world. This is Jesus praying to the Father, saying, I'm not of the world and neither are my disciples. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth, by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent them into the world, I have sent them into the world. Here's what Jesus is saying. He said, guys, we are in the world, but I am with you. The goal is not to leave the modern world. The goal is not to get to our Christian spots and just stay away with our Christian friends. And, you know, it feels so much better there and everybody gets along, or hopefully they do. And we all believe the same thing and Jesus is for us and it feels great. But Jesus said, don't forget about the world. The goal is not to get away from the world. The goal is to get into the world and make a difference. The goal is to get in there and make a difference. And I'm going to help you to do it. So please, if we're trying to escape, if we're trying to run away, if we're just trying to fit in, if we're just running and fear all of the time when it comes to our friends and our co-workers and our families that aren't saved, then God has a better plan for us. And he wants to equip us today, and he wants to help us today. God promises to protect us and sanctify us. And I want us to look at that. How does this work out every day? Because it's okay saying in the scripture, but what does God say to us, and how does he want to equip us? Here's what I find with sanctification. It's a big word, but it simply means transformation. We get justified by faith, faith alone, through grace. And that's whenever we became right with God. He justified us. And so now we're able to go to heaven. That's an incredible thing. It's a one-time deal. It's incredible in God. But sanctification or transformation happens every day. And why does it happen every day? Because God knows we face battles every day. And you're going to face trials of your identity every day. And remember, every time you face a battle, it's a trial of your identity. Because if the world can get you to change your identity a tiny bit, then you leave off your identity in Christ. And before you know it, you become this split person, compromised person, a person that cannot be all that God has called you to be, because you are not in oneness with him. You have been distracted and pulled away by other things and deceived by other things, and you're starting to accept other things as primary identity in your life. And God says, no, I am the primary identity in your life. In fact, I want to be the whole identity in your life, and all those other things should come way down the chain. But God is calling us today because he knows that we're going to face many battles. Here's what I find. Every day you face a battle of image. See, the world is full of images. Isn't it? Even Sprite got it. Image is everything. Image is everything. What do you wear? How do you look? Who are you with? The appearance that you carry. It's like this outward thing. And yet God says, I want to do an inward work that would affect the outward. And yet, what's the world say? That's outward will affect inward. It never works. When you get outward trying to affect inward, it doesn't work the way God intended, because it's the wrong way around. God says, I'm going to affect the inward, it's going to affect the outward, and it's going to make a drastic difference. So what about if your battle's with image? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in that? What if your battle every day is who you should be because you want to fit in? That's a real battle every single day, whether it be in school, in work. You know, it's like you're Christian, conversation changed, and then you find yourself just fitting in or just being like everybody else. Or third thing, like the battle of how should I act? How should I talk? How should I love? How should I respond? All of these are big deals, because here's the goal of the world. If you don't do that, we don't accept you. If you don't be like us, we don't accept you. Now, I know you can have your own truth. You can be you. You can do all you want to do. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's not a pure thing. It's like, literally, if you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not following after the same stuff, then we don't accept you. And this is the battle, and this is the pressure of every day. This is what we face. Come on, I've been there. You have been there. So it's as good as it is, and church can be amazing, and our quiet times can be amazing. This is what we face on a day-to-day basis, and the pressure is real. What do you do with that pressure? How do you get through? Here's what God says. Be aware. Number one, you got to be aware. I think one of the most important things that we can do as Christians is to be self-aware and be aware. Here's what Jesus said back in John 10:22. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Here's the reality of our faith. Guys, when we step up for things and we just stay true to God's word and we stay true to the Bible, we stay true to our identity in Christ, people are going to come against us. The world is going to come against us because the goal of the world is not forgiveness. It is not grace. It is not acceptance. It is not restoration. It is the opposite of all of those things. It's self-survival. It's like survival of the fittest. It's like, if I can put you down so I can get up, so be it. It's like, I need it for me. Forget about you. I'll keep you alongside for a measure, but it might just be because I need to use you. It probably isn't because I want to bless you. You see, the difference is night and day. It is black and white. And watch how we need to become aware. And of course, Jesus is super strong here. You'll be hated by everyone because of me. But he's being super strong because he wants us to be super aware. This is a real thing. There are times when we're going to share our faith. There are times when we're going to stand up for our faith. And it's going to be met with hatred. It's going to be met with, how dare you? It's going to be met with, that's just stupid. That's just foolish. It's everything. And God says, I want you to be aware. I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be prepared in the sense of, you know that it's coming. But remember your true identity in me, fully known, fully accepted, fully loved. It is blameless and spotless in his sight, an eternal purpose that cannot be taken from you. This is crucial, and that's why we've got to hide the word of God in our hearts. So when we get tempted to change our identity and try to just fit in for the sake of our own peace of mind, we say, no, because I know what the word says, and I know what God says. And here's what Paul said, in a real way to help us to transform and to help us to continue to transform in a broken world. Cling to Jesus and cling to the Bible. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. But verse 23, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what's Paul trying to get us here? What's he trying to say? He's simply saying, look, you are going to face trials and battles every day of your identity. You're going to face trials and battles every day of your faith. But here's the temptation, that you will put off your new self and pick up your old self. And you'll just try to fit in. And then later on, you'll repent or you'll feel bad about it. You'll feel guilty. Or maybe you're filled with grace and you'll be like, no, it's okay because God already forgives me. But ultimately, you weren't able to be the witness that God called you to be in that place at that time. And so it's not what God's called you to be. And you're not able to be the person that God's called you to be. And you're having to change and switch and transform and try to be two people. And that's not nice in anybody's world. And God says, I don't need you to be like that. I've equipped you for better things. And so what Paul says, what we have to do by faith is put off the old self. We go, okay, I'm not going to live like that. So I'm going to put that off and I'm going to put on my new identity. My new identity is a son. I'm fully loved. I am loved, that he is well pleased with me. Before I do anything every day, I am more than an overcomer. God is for me and not against me. I don't need your approval to be accepted. I'm already fully accepted by him. Whenever we get challenged, whenever we get tempted to step into an old identity, we should put it off. And as Paul said, put on the new self, because the new self is the one that God has given us, that new person in Christ. Our battles as Christians are always going to stay, are always going to be there. Our battles as Christians are always going to be there, but as we stay in Christ, we can overcome. And that's the good news of the word. And that's the good news of Jesus. We can overcome. And here's what I find, is that our primary sense of self and value has always got to be Jesus. There are other identity markers that people are going to want to give us. They're going to want to class us on our race, our religion, our gender, our abilities, our skills, our talents. You know, like, what was your score? How much money have you got? You know, like, where do you fit in? We're going to want to be labeled all of the time. And Paul says, reject those labels. Don't allow those labels to come in your heart, because those labels want to rob you of your freedom and want to take you away from your true identity. Your true identity in Christ is that you're forgiven, you're accepted, you're fully loved. And all of those other identity markers, they may be real on your life, but they come way down the list and they have less impact than they did before. Here's what the opposite is true. When they become, it's like, no, I'm fighting for this. Like, I'm fighting for that. I'm fighting for this thing. I'm fighting for that thing. And all these big things start to become big deals in our lives. And God says, remember, you are me first. You are a child of God first. And can I give you just something that will really bless and encourage your life? Is that in every single situation, whether you be a mom, a dad, school teacher, you know, a person of this race, a person of this color, a person with this talents, a person with this much in their bank account, you are a son of God first, and you're a daughter of God first, and everything else follows after that. I think if we remember that, suddenly our lives get transformed. Suddenly the people around us benefit from us, and we don't get dragged down these rabbit holes trying to defend this and defend that. God is our defender. But we start off well, and we stay well when we realize that I am a son of God first. That's truly who I am. That's my true identity. And then let everything outflow from there, because from that place of foundation, I think we'll make better choices. I think we'll make better decisions, and we'll be able to live a better life, because we'll stay in our identity with Christ. Number three, we know our identity. We say, right, okay, this is how I'm supposed to live. But what happens after that? Where do we get to? Here's what I love, and this one's just so good. When you know your identity, and especially when your identity is in God, what flows from that is integrity. It's integrity. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what do you mean by integrity? Like, is that just means doing the right thing all the time? Does that mean, like, you know, just being good? No, no, no. Here's what integrity means. It means being one person or just one thing in everything. So for us as individuals, what does that look like in our lives? It means I'm the same person wherever you find myself. I don't have to edit anything. I don't have to remember, oh, okay, I got to be like a non-Christian here. You know, I've got to be a super Christian there. It's like, I remember a friend of mine, he told me this. He said, hey, when I found myself, when I realized I had found myself splitting myself everywhere, it was like I had a Christmas party one time and I invited all my friends to it. And then it was like, I realized, oh gosh, they're my non-Christian friends. And so now I've got my parents, I've got my family, I've got my cousins, and they all see me as a Christian. And now I've got my non-Christian friends. And he said he spent half the night trying to switch from one person to the next, hoping that none of the groups would mix, because with his non-Christian friends, he was more cool, you know, in that sense. It's like he let his hair down, but with his Christian friends and family, he was like super Christian. And guys, that's not a place we want to get to, because you know what? It's exhausting. It is exhausting. And God says, I want you to be people of integrity, and you'll be the one person everywhere you go. Here's what I want to tell you. For Vibe, it's vision, V for vision, I for integrity, B for boldness, and E for evangelism. It has been in our DNA from day number one. And why was that? Because we looked around and we said, guys, we want to be people of God everywhere. Let's be just sold out, on fire Christians, believing what the Bible says and actually living by it. Because we believe God's word works. We didn't want to be people that compromise. We didn't want to be people that would go off to uni and go here and go everywhere and find ourselves having to compromise to fit in. We believed that if we serve God, we could live like Christ everywhere. And we've been doing it for 13, 14 years, and God says, don't change, don't change. But the power of this word that God's only revealing to us now is that without a firm identity, you will never get that firm integrity. And this is incredible because it is so linked. Our identity gives us our integrity. Here's what Proverbs 10:9 says. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Isn't everybody looking for security? I mean, one of the fundamental needs of every human being is to have security, is to know that everything's going to be okay, to have a secure place, a secure mind, a secure home, to have security in your life. Look what it says way back in Proverbs 10. Whoever walks in integrity walks in security, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Watch how when we try to live different ways, watch how when we try to mix our identities, that we're going to find ourselves walking crooked paths and wondering ourselves, why can I not be the one person? Why can I not be the person that God's called me to be if you're a Christian, or if you're not a Christian? Why does my life not just make sense? I'm going to tell you, your life is never going to make sense outside of Christ. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them. Listen to this now. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. So when we're full of integrity, we're full of oneness, and it guides us. It helps us be simple, isn't it? I mean, it's like if you're one person, you can go one direction. If you're trying to be multiple people, or you're trying to change here, change there, well, then you're going to have to go different directions, and you're never going to feel like, well, where am I meant to be? Like, what am I here for? Is it any wonder we feel uncertain? Is it any wonder we feel insecure? Because we're constantly have to split ourselves. But if we stay in integrity, then the upright of the Spirit of God will guide us. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Duplicity, duplicate. It's like whenever you try to duplicate yourself, whenever you try to multiply yourself, it never goes well. God says, stay in integrity, stay in oneness with me, and watch how you will fulfill and step out into all of the things I've called you to because of your identity. So where do we find ourselves today? Let me wrap up in just a few moments, but where do we find ourselves today? I wrote down just a couple of things. Confident, secure, and approved. And ask these questions of your heart. Is this me? I'm confident, I'm secure, I'm approved. Or is it broken, insecure, and striving. I think the truth is that we're all probably in there somewhere, a bit of both of them. But the heart of God is that more often than not, we would know that we're confident in Him, we would know the security of Him, and that we would know that we're approved by Him. And when we know those things, those basic things, suddenly our life moves in a different way. But for you today, maybe you just know, man, I am broken. I'm just sitting in a broken mess because on the outside it looks good for me. I might even be a Christian. On the outside it looks good for me, but inside you don't know what's going on. I'm just compromised, I'm broken, and I don't have the security that I want, and I feel depressed at times, and I'm up and dying at times, and I'm just not sure, and I'm striving every day, and I just want to feel rest, and I want to feel confidence, and I really want to be like them, because they look like they've got it all figured out. Can I encourage you that in Christ you can get that identity? In Jesus you can have that. And maybe if you're unsure of the answer, here's a great way to find it out. Ask a friend. They'll soon tell you. They'll be like, oh, yeah. They think they're confident. They think they're secure. But I've seen that the way they may move. I see the way that they go. Anybody remember back to Superman years ago? I don't know if you watched it, but Superman, he had this, not an alter ego, but he had this alternative a person that he was, Clark Kent. And it's like every day he's trying to be Clark Kent because he doesn't want to stand out. And then when the world needs him, he becomes Superman. And he's literally just trying to live in this dual personality, just this dual person. And he's trying to figure out, is this the way I should live? And ultimately, it's not. Because anytime, anywhere that you try to be two people, it is not a healthy space. And so by the end of it, he realizes, I should be Superman. And I should learn to live like this because this is who I am. Now, I'm not saying that you're Superman or Superwoman, but you're full of the Holy Spirit. And you have the supernatural power of God running through your life, and he is calling you to be the one person that he has destined you to be, and that is more than enough. If you don't know Jesus, then he is calling you to himself, and he's saying, hey, I can help you to feel more than enough because I've made you and I know you, and I want you to turn to me. If you'd like to do that, we're going to pray in just a moment. God offers a new way of life. This is what he offers: confidence instead of doubt. Imagine that. Imagine if your life was far more confident than full of doubts. This is what we can have in Jesus. Imagine if you were grounded in love instead of rooted in insecurity. That would be a game changer, wouldn't it? It has happened in my life. I want to see it happen in your life. Imagine holiness, just no blame, rather than trying to be good. Trying to be good every day is exhausting. Does that mean you just want to live and just do your own thing? No, but God makes us good. And he helps us, and he sustains us, and he drives our lives rather than us trying to strive to achieve anything. Guys, I want to encourage your heart today. Where do you find yourself in your identity? Where do you find yourself in with God? Where do you find yourself when you go to work? Is it always anxiety, fear? It's like, oh my gosh, I could never be what God's called me to be. I want to encourage you to go back to the start and allow him to fill the holes in your identity. Because as he fills the gaps with his love, watch how you become a stronger, better person who's able to become confident in the things of God, able to move in the things of the Spirit, and then you're able to be the real you everywhere. The real you in the real world. That's the ultimate goal of God for your life. Guys, we're going to pray. I want to encourage you, if you're lacking in some of these areas, do you know what you do? You get into his presence and watch how he writes this on your heart. If you're lacking in any of these areas, watch how, if you get into the word and you study the word and allow the word to read you and study you and affect your heart and get into your heart, watch how those identity markers that other people try to put in your heart, that you think sometimes, yeah, I've got to do this because I've got to fit in, watch how they suddenly fall away and you become a confident person who's actually full of grace, who's full of humility, because this is the way of God. It's not that you become bold and brash. It's that you become humble and obedient and self-sacrificing and a person that's willing to care and a person that's compassionate and full of love, rich in mercy and full of forgiveness. This is the way of God. So we're going to pray today. If you don't know him, we're going to pray for that. If you do, we're going to pray for a deeper walk with God and a true identity that will lead you to oneness in Christ and you not having to be different people at different times. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for anyone that just doesn't know you today. I pray, Lord, that right now I sense that God is just speaking to your heart and the Holy Spirit is moving on your mind, basically. And I pray, Lord, that we may have many questions, lots of questions. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. But Lord, let me just encourage every heart today that doesn't know you or is far from you. You don't have to be those things. He said, just come the way that you are. And I'm here because you are broken. I'm there because you are broken. And I will help you. I will restore you. I will transform you. And on a day-to-day basis, we'll go on a journey together. And I'll help your life and transform your life. And everything will change. So just give me your life. If you're ready to do that today, we're ready to pray. The Bible tells us that if we would confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, then we would be saved. And what does that mean? It means literally God will come and save us from our sins. And the wages of our sin are death. And that death will ultimately not allow us to get to heaven because we're not perfect. We'll end up in hell. But God says today, if you would give me your life, I have already paid the price of your sins. I will give you a new life. I will give you a new identity. You'll become a child of God. And at the end of your life, you'll go to heaven. But even better than that, in the midst of that, in this life, you will know my confidence. You will know my abundance. And your life will be completely different. So Lord, I pray today for anybody that's ready to say yes and for anybody that's saying yes. I pray right now that they would know your love, they would know your forgiveness, that you would remove their sin and their shame and give them a brand new start in you with that wonderful new identity in Christ. Jesus, we just thank you for that right now in your precious name. And Lord, I just pray finally for the rest of us. I pray, Lord, for anyone saved and knows you, and maybe we're ready to go deeper, maybe we're ready to go further, or maybe we've just been sitting on the fence for a while. Lord, I pray today that something is transforming in us because our identity in you is crucial. Our identity will lead us to be in the real us in a real world, and when we get there, we'll find the integrity that we've always yearned for, the integrity that we've always longed for. I want to be the real me everywhere. I want to be able to show the real me everywhere, and it's more than enough. Lord, enable us, empower us, and fill us with your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you're pouring out on our lives, and I ask you for more. And I pray today, Lord, that you'd fill us with the fruits of the Spirit and mature those things in our lives. Make us more humble, make us more forgiven, more graceful, more kind, more compassionate, more loving, and ready to make a difference in a broken world because we have the answer. Lord, thank you today for everybody who's tuned in. Thank you for everybody that's received this word. Let it really touch their hearts and let them never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.